Good morning, family. Good morning, family. Grace and joy to you. Why don't you stand and give somebody good looking a big hug and welcome them to College Hour. Boy, if that's all the good-looking people we got in here, we're in trouble. Come on, find somebody else good-looking. Spread that love around and give them a hug. Come on. It's all right. God bless you, son. God bless you. I was feeling left out for a minute. You know what? God has been good to us. And on yesterday, we experienced something so powerful that all the world was able to look in on our democracy. We actually showed the global nations what it's like to have a peaceful transfer of powers. And that says a lot about who we are as a country. Come on, let's give God some praise for who we are as a nation. It was pretty powerful. And then for the very first time in our history, an African-American man was nominated president of the United States. That means a lot to the world, to people of culture and color all across the country. Let's praise God for that as well. Amen? Amen. I'm so excited today. We have the president and first lady of Tabor College with us here today. Let's make some noise for them. And now we're going to hear the word of the Lord from our student chaplain, grad student, Minister Perry Benson, and prayer from our lovely daughter, Sister Amy. Come on, you guys. Let's give them a hand as they come.
Our Psalm 150 reads, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this wonderful morning and all the blessings that you've already brought to us. Lord, I pray that you Bring us to an awareness of you daily and help us to remember why we were created to glorify and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're the College Hour worship team. We're called Find 150 for all you new students. And I hope you guys enjoy the worship time with us.
Rich and poor, God, I want you more. Anything that glitters in this world, be my all, all consuming pride. You can have all my hands can hold, my heart, mind, strength, and soul. Be my all, all consuming pride. Just you have all we need in you. All we need is you.
God, I want you more than anything that glitters in this world. Be my all, all-consuming fire. You can have all my hands can hold, my heart, mind, strength, and soul. Be my all, all-consuming fire.
Because we have all we need in you. All we need is you. All we need is you.
Come on, sing it loud with us.
Yeah, we have all we need is you.
Majesty, majesty.
grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Sing majesty, majesty. Forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty.
Distinct privilege and pleasure of having with us our brother and our sister from our sister college, Tabor College. Dr. Glanzer is the president, the new president of this college, and his lovely wife Peg is here today. They've traveled across country to be with us, and we were blessed on yesterday at his presentation for the senior professionals, and I've asked him to come and pour his heart out for us this morning. So one more time, would you show our appreciation for Dr. Glanzer being here? Not yet, Brother President. We're going to do one more song. We're going to do one more song, and then we're going to have you come up. Would you be seated in the presence of God? And after this next song, the next voice you'll hear will be that of the president of our sister college, Tabor College, Dr. Jules Glanzer.
I know he told you to sit down. Can you guys stand up?
Yeah.
sing with us.
Sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
I didn't mean to stage you at all there, madam. It's not that I was so urgent or wanting to speak so quickly, but it just seemed like it was the right time. Good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners. Oh, we're all here. Good. That's great. Hey, I want to get a feel of kind of who all's in the audience here. So I'm just curious, how many seniors are here? You're in your home stretch, right? Congratulations, a few more months and you're out of here. What about juniors? Quite a few. Sophomores? Hey, sophomores, do you feel like nobody cares about you? Just curious, you know? Like, you know, yeah, juniors and seniors, upperclassmen, sophomores, and everybody loves a freshman. How many freshmen? Yeah, that's right. You're at the low end of the totem pole once again, right? Yeah. I'm curious, is there anybody in this crowd that's from Kansas? Oh, bless you. Bless you. There are just a few. We are a rare breed. How many are from California? You got any volleyball players? Congratulations to the volleyball team. National champs, that's awesome. Yep, really, really want to congratulate you on that feat, which is a major feat. Well, I'm honored to be with you. What I have to say this morning actually would not have to take very long. I could say everything in 3 minutes and be done, and you could be out of here. But then they're paying me such big bucks for this that they need a few more words than that. So, but what I really want to say to you can really be summarized in basically a question. I have a question for you. I don't have formulas. I have some suggestions on how to answer the question. But the question is more something for you to take from here and to think about. Something to leave this room and for the next few months, weeks, and maybe even years, think about the one question. I wish I could answer it for you. I wish I could ask the question, you could make the answer, and you could walk out of here, and everything would be fine and smooth. But it isn't that way. It's a question that you need to give some serious thought to. You need to reflect on, pray about, discuss, maybe even experiment with you. When you came in, you received a box of nerds. I'd like you to take that box, and I'd like you to empty it, eat the nerds, and I'd like you to hold and kind of play with the box the whole time I'm speaking this morning. Because the box represents you. I want you to imagine that you're holding in your hands your very life. Who you are, what you represent, what you are going to become, what you're going to do. So the whole time that I'm speaking, I want you to just be playing with your box and to be holding it in your hand. Each of us are different. Now, this morning, we happen to all be nerds. I'm sorry about that. That's the only small box I could find at Walmart. So that's the way. But nevertheless, don't get hung up on what it says on the box. But rather see it as yourself. You are unique. This is your box. Now, here is the question. What is in your box? Or let me ask it another way. What lights your fire? What is really important to you? What do you care about deeply? What motivates you? What drives you? What gets you excited? What floats your boat? What consumes you? What is your passion? What is it that just makes you want to get up in the morning, not want to go to bed at night? What's in your box? You see, we all have one thing that drives us. There's one thing in our lives that propels us to act, that propels us to live, and whatever it is that propels you to do what you do, that is what is in your box. So, for example, you see the cartoon up here of Bleachers. Now let me get this straight. I become a superstar and all you want is my soul. All right, what's the catch? What's in this guy's box? He doesn't even realize it. That fame is driving him. It is what is most important to him, and he's willing to sell his eternity, his entire future, for what's in his box. How many of you watch Office? Is that popular in this campus? It is really popular on the Tabor campus. They have office parties and gather around and watch it. Those of you who watch it, what is Michael Scott? What's in Michael Scott's box? Gin, right, yeah. He just wants to be liked. When you look at his character, he just wants to be liked by everybody that's in the office. And he has such a time with that. Or what drives Dwight in the office? The poor guy, I don't think he even knows. Or let's look at some others. What about Donald Trump? What's in his box? What's in Tiger Woods' box? Michael Phelps? Bill Gates? Billy Graham? We could even ask, what's in President Obama's box? What has been driving him? And do more than listen to his words. So what's in your box? Whatever is in your box will drive you and arrange your life for you. It'll determine how you act. It'll determine what you do. It will shape you. It will mold you. It will create you. It will define you. It will set the tone for your relationships. It will influence your choices. Who you become is determined by what's in your box. Who you become is determined by what you choose to have in your box. So, for example, if making money is what floats your boat and drives you, you're going to live your life in a certain way, so that will become important. If playing sports is what's in your box, you will live it a certain way. If being cool is what drives you, if wanting a boyfriend or wanting a girlfriend or a career goal or being successful or being concerned what others think about you, if that's in your box, you will rearrange and arrange your life in such a way that that will always be what drives you. If getting good grades is in your box, if wanting freedom is in your box, it will determine who you are by what's in your box. What's in your box? Whatever is in your box will determine who you are and who you will become. For this academic year, I personally chose to hang out in the book of Philippians. And I read it and I soak in it. I sit in it like a hot tub, just rereading it and meditating on it and memorizing it and just kind of wanting to just let all of Philippians soak into me and then allow it to shape and change my life. Now, you probably know a lot about that book. You've probably taken some courses on it. It's a letter that is written by a man named Paul. He's in prison at the time. You can hear his chains rattle as he writes this letter to a bunch of followers of Jesus who live in this place called Philippi. And these are people who he really loves. He really likes them. They're kind of his favorite people. I challenge you to sit down and to just read it as you would a letter from home, from someone that really likes you a lot. And when I read this letter, it becomes very clear what was in this man Paul's box. Paul was concerned about one thing. He keeps going back to it in many different ways. In chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ." Right out of the chute, right out of in the first few paragraphs, he lets everybody know, "For me to live in Christ." And then if you keep on reading farther on, he keeps coming back to it. In chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage." And a little later on, "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead, I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And then a little later on in chapter 4, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." What was in this man's box? It was Jesus. And I want you to notice something. It was not what Jesus said. It was not the teachings of Jesus, although they're very important. But for this man, Paul, and in this letter that he wrote, it was the person of Jesus that was in his box. It was another person. It wasn't a belief. It wasn't a doctrine. It was a man. A man named Jesus who is a cut above everybody else. You go to everybody else's grave that is a religious leader in this world, and they are still there. You go to the gravesite of Jesus and he is not there. He has arisen. And he is alive. And that was what was in Paul's box. What's in your box? "For me to live is Christ." What does it mean to have Jesus as the one thing in your box? What does that look like? To have a person that's residing in you? This is not something that you hear one talk on and then you go out and decide and everything is fine. It's something that you consider, that you reflect, that you discuss. You talk about it with your friends. You spend time alone. You spend time in community. You go about your life. And in that process, you ask yourself, what is in my box? So let me share with you a personal story. A story when, in my life, there was a decision that I realized that I wanted Jesus to be in my box. It was in 1972, and I was with this singing group that was called The Commitment, a part of Tabor College. And we were singing at this event where there was a lot of people gathered from our denomination called Probe 72, many different denominations, I should say. And at that event, they told a story of some young men who were very, had Jesus in their life, in their box. And they had been drowned for their faith. They lived in the 1500s, and they had been thrown into a river because they had made Jesus the very cornerstone of their life. And on the body of one of the people that they had rescued from the river, they discovered a strategy, a map, they called it, to reach the world with the good news of Jesus. And I remember sitting in that audience, and there was like this thought that came into my mind that said, I remember thinking to myself, I'd never find anything like that in my life, on my body. And there was this kind of this instant message that came into my head that said, Jules, do I have all of you? And I said, well, no. And he said, well, I would like to. And I kind of almost flippantly said, well, okay, you can. And I realized at that point that that was the beginning of a first step to think really about what was in my box. I went from that meeting and continued to think about it and realized that the only way for me to really have Jesus driving my life, that I needed to give myself to his people, the church. That was the way I could live out Jesus in my box. At that time, I had thought I was going to go back to the farm. If that wasn't going to work out, into the marketplace in some way. I wrestled with this for many months, and then it became clear one Sunday morning that the next step in that process was to go to seminary. Now, that was really an out-of-the-box kind of decision for me, because it had never really crossed my mind until that point. You need to understand that I was forced to go to high school. I didn't want to go to high school. I was enticed to go to college. Went for 1 year and thought it was kind of a fun thing to be away from home. And so I continued on. Well, you start something, you finish it. So I did. Now I was going to seminary. It made no sense to me. But nevertheless, I realized that that was the next step. It was not what I thought my life would be. But it ended up shaping my life, where I went from seminary to being a pastor, to being a church planter, seminary dean, and now serving as president of Tabor College. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't just, okay, Jesus is in my box, everything's okay. When Jesus is in your box, it looks different for different people. For me, it simply meant taking the next step and going where Jesus was calling me to go. And over time, it evolved into something which I never had dreamed of or thought it would be. It wasn't that I suddenly had a major goal. It was simply being in tune with that which drives you. And for me, it ended up being to be a person of influence. For me to have Jesus in my box means that I want to influence those who will influence others. That's where it led. With Jesus in your box, where will it take you? You see, here's the thing. Finding out about what's in your box is a lot like, well, it's either peeling back an onion or an artichoke. Now, there's a difference. When you peel back an onion, you end up crying a lot. You look like you have a lot of passion, and you peel and you peel and you peel and you peel until there is nothing. For many, that's how it is with their lives. And when they look at what's in their box, they realize that what they have put in their box produces absolutely nothing. Now, if you start peeling back an artichoke, it's a little bit different. First of all, it's dangerous. You're going to get hurt. It's going to be painful. I've never peeled an artichoke and not pricked myself. And I see blood. And you keep peeling and peeling and peeling until you get to the heart. And then you have what the artichoke is all about. And then you pop it in your mouth and it tastes wonderful. That's how it is with what's in your box. If you can peel it back and look what's there. And what I would recommend should be there is Jesus. Now, how do you know what's in your box? Well, you start peeling. You begin to peel back. You get to the heart of it. And you identify what's in your box now. Be honest with yourself. Ask your friends. Talk to your professors. And once you can say, this is what really lights my fire. This is what really motivates me. Then ask yourself, is this what you want in your box? Do you want this to shape you for the rest of your life? Is this who you want to become? So what does it look like for you to say, for me to live as Christ? What does that look like? Because whatever is in there will drive you and shape you. And please hear me, it doesn't mean that you suddenly become of no earthly good. You just sit around and waste your time thinking about Jesus. No, that doesn't mean that Jesus is in your box. You don't have to become a contemplative to have Jesus in your box. You can be, it might, but it doesn't have to be. You can be active. You've heard of what would Jesus do, and some of you maybe wear those bracelets. I've always been irritated by that question. What would Jesus do? That kind of means that Jesus once upon a time was doing something. I happen to think Jesus is alive. And the question should be W-I-J-D. What is Jesus doing? He's alive. He's at work in the world. What is he doing? Can I see what it is that he's doing in this world? And I'd like to even go a step farther. And especially as I've read the book of Philippians, I'd have to say that the real question is not what is Jesus doing, but where is Jesus going? When I read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I notice that Jesus is always on the move. He's always going someplace, and people are always scrambling to catch up with where it is he's going. As I look in the world today, Jesus is alive and active and well. He's doing things in this world. Where is he going? That's the question. Where is he going? And if he is in your box, then you're going to follow him. Then you're one going to catch up to where he is going, because he's at work in the world. And you can catch up with him and participate with what it is that he's doing in the world. Because if Jesus is in your box, you will follow him to where he is going, and you will end up participating with what he is doing in the world. You won't be sitting around. You won't be barking orders. You will be getting your hands bloody and wet. And there will be sweat. And there will be tears. And there will be joy. And there will be laughter. It'll all be put into one box. What's in your box? What is your ambition? What's in your box? Let the peeling begin. And then start catching up to where Jesus is going. Because when you choose to follow Jesus, you find yourself participating with what he is doing in the world. I leave you with one question. What is in your box? Thank you very much.
F-150, come back. F-150, would you grab a neighbor's hand right now and let's ponder this question? In our time of prayer, as our band comes back for their final number, where is Jesus going? What is he doing in the earth? On last week, we heard the clarion call and the challenge to cross cultures, borders, and towns. Also, we were challenged to be engaged, to be the hands and feet of Christ. And today our brother has so eloquently given us another portion of that charge, to look and see where God is working and to join him in what he's doing. After this selection, and you're able to pray for your neighbor, and your neighbor is able to pray for you, I'm going to ask that my sister will come back. Dina will come and pray for us and give us our benediction. Let's ponder now what God is saying.
Bubble wisdom.
the most memorable moments of a college experience is spring break. And for those who love Jesus, spring break looks a little differently than some of the other communities around us. And this year, FIFL is offering an opportunity for us to spend 4 days in our community doing some urban ministry, Fresno Urban Ministry Project. The cost is $160 to spend 4 days discovering Jesus in our city. And the Office of Spiritual Formation has offered a scholarship, 15 of them, for $80 apiece to be able to support some of the students here to be a part of what God's doing in our inner city. What's in your box? I think Fresno is in the box of people who love Jesus. And to finish today with the benediction in Philippians, the very book that our brother shared with us, Paul says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace be with you." Amen. There is a one-unit credit for those who want to be participating in the Spring Break Event Fump. God bless you and be with you. Amen.